Rancor's Brothel.
Great Scott.
Get off my plane.
Hello, and welcome to the Rancor's Brothel. Issue number 70. I'm your co-host, Matt.
And I'm your co-host, Cody.
And Cody's also been promoted to technical director. Congratulations, Cody, from here at Follow Networks.
Yay!
You have another unpaying job.
That's great. Comes with a raise. I get paid double what I get paid now.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. Cody, how you been, man?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. It was a busy weekend for both of us.
Yeah, we had some gear.
Definitely.
It's weird sitting across the table from you.
It is a little.
I feel like I have to stare directly into your eyes. They're beautiful, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Lipid cool. Okay, so normally we'd say what we've been reading, but let's talk about our really busy.
All right.
This ties good. In. Yeah. Would you like to lead off?
Sure, because yours is already recorded, so other people might have heard a little bit of it, but...
Only called Cody Schroeder and Chad. They're the only ones that listen to both shows.
While everyone else was at AwesomeCon weekend, I went up to Alter Ego in Muncie, where I got to meet comic book writer Jason Aaron, who was... Jason Aaron is well known right now for writing Thor, Southern Bastards, and a couple of other really awesome books.
Wasn't he big in X-Men for a while?
Yes, he does do X-Men. He did a little run on Hulk. He's not the major guy at Marvel, but he's definitely one of their top-tier writers. He did Scalp. I don't know if you read Scalp or not, but he always writes sort of bloody, angry guys getting hit in the face with big sticks and axe and things.
I love my face hitting comics.
There you go. He was actually a... He's a big burly man himself. He did actually call out for mead while we were in the signing. It was pretty cool.
Bring me grog! For those of you that were curious as to what that noise was, Chief, our shield is about to run out. Sorry, I put the phone on. Cool. So we got some good signings?
I did. It was pretty neat. They also had, I'm going to forget her name. I think it was Blanche. There's a woman who... It's my understanding, and this may be rumor mill here, Rancor's Brothel's going TMZ right now.
Yeah.
But there was another woman signing there. She's a part owner, I believe, of Alter Ego, partially owned by Mark Waid.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's his girlfriend. So she was also signing her first comic as well.
Oh, cool.
So she independently published it under an Alter Ego publishing license. And then one of the smaller companies, Image, something like that, somebody picked it up. Maybe it was Boom. I think it was Boom. And then now they're producing.
Nice. Well, cool. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Our friend Jonathan Sullivan of the Androids Dungeon, who's recently moved their store hours all day, every day. 9:30 to 9:30.
On Wednesday, it's like 7:30 to 10 p.m. or something like that.
I'm trying not to cuss this episode. You're making it hard, Grady.
I already said the word bastard once.
But that was in a title.
Yeah, it's proper.
Yeah.
Don't come after us, iTunes.
Yeah, thank you for not coming after us. He went and got some Thor books. Cody, actually, it was kind of funny. He said he talked to
him. Yeah, yeah.
And he was looking up at some wall books, a bunch of Thor books up on the wall, like, these aren't going to... So we went up there and got him signed. So, hey, if you want a Jason Aaron signed Thor book, Thor 1, what's he got?
I don't know. I know he got the new Thor 1 signed, and I think he got maybe Thor God of Thunder 25, which came out 2 weeks ago. The last of Jason Aaron is finishing up Thor God of Thunder and is now starting Thor.
Yes, is what I would call it.
Fair enough.
Okay. But they're available now at the Androids Dungeon in scenic Avon, Indiana, right by the Ashy Furniture that I got fired. July or 2000 something. Whatever, I missed my quota in July one year. They fired me, jerk. Having said that, I spent the weekend at AwesomeCon. That's a lie. I spent 5 hours on Saturday at AwesomeCon. Pretty small. So 5 hours at AwesomeCon, if you weren't a stop and talk to every booth kind of guy, you'd be there in an hour and a half.
Really?
Yeah, it was not.
So what section of the floor were they on? Like so you went to PopCon. How was it laid out? The general flow of things?
It was one big room.
Gotcha. Was it on the south side of the building?
It was right by the ballroom.
Okay.
At the convention. Yeah, it was right across from the Wabash.
Gotcha.
They had the one large room. Registration was at one end. Celebrities were at the other. And in between was everything else. A little kid zone. They had an old Batmobile. The General Lee there, which every con I've been to the past 10 months. And then, then they had Creator's Alley. And a bunch of vendors selling underwear. There was maybe 2 comic books set up. But a lot of comic creator, comic writers. A lot of people shilling them.
Gotcha.
So that was kind of cool. Notable people that I saw, we got a picture of Adam West.
Nice.
As he returning to his booth, because I was not paying $70 for one. And let me tell you, what a gentleman. Stopped and talked to everybody that was in line. So we did a panel at AwesomeCon, Follow Networks, at 2 o'clock on Saturday. Which, 2 o'clock on Saturday in the ballroom was Q&A of Adam West and Burt Ward. So we had 12 people. I mean, we had more than that, but you know what I mean.
Good on you, 12 people. Stick it to Batman and Robin.
So when Batman and Robin were done, we knew that he'd be coming back to Booth. So we just kind of camped out in a little kids section there. It was running around with the collar stuff. I really think my son was flirting with a stormtrooper, enamored with a stormtrooper costume.
Fair enough.
Yeah, which I was like all excited about. and we just waited, and we kind of, Natalie was holding her phone casually, but she had the camera open, because there were people everywhere that had no camera signs up near the celebrities, or no photos, and so she was just acting like she was, like, Facebooking, very discreetly holding the phone away from her, and then snapped, and then we walked away real fast, because, like, I guess we thought the police were going to get us. I don't really know what our thought was there, but we got to see Adam West.
The photo SWAT team would drop in from the top of the convention center.
Yeah.
Tear gas.
The guy, well, when Adam got there, there was maybe 20 or 30 people. Took the time and stopped and talked to everybody and thanked them all for coming. And gentlemen, just the celebrity that you want to see, you know.
Yeah.
And kind of, it's not the one that's like lucked there because, you know, A, their movies aren't doing that hot right now, or B, they're publishing to go to Infocon, they'd rather Bears game, whatever.
Right.
It's really nice. Jason Mewes was there, and what I loved about Jason Mewes is that he wasn't a behind-the-table kind of guy. You know, that everybody else is sitting at their table, and you would approach the table and stand up and do for a photo. Jason Mewes refused to sit on the back of the table. He sat at the front of the table, and by sat, I mean stood there the whole time. So he was there. He'd hug everybody and interact, shake hands. He was just, you know, since he's cleaned up from the heroin many years ago, so, you just see an exuberance and thankfulness in the man. So that was really cool. Michael Rosenbaum was there. He's a hometown boy from Smallville, from Newburgh, Indiana. Pam from True Blood. And I said this on Mad Chat. Like, she walked right past her, about 3 feet from her. First of all, sweet as can be. Number two, she was pretty on True Blood, okay? Like, in some lights, she's supposed to be heinous in the show. So they did her up to look that. But, oh my God, Kristen Bauer Von Stratton, hot. Unbelievably gorgeous. So that's a thing that happened in front of my wife. My jaw dropped as I stared at her butt and her tight jeans away. And I was unapologetic about it because that's what you do with celebrities. You gawk at them. The best part was Anakin. You know, Anakin Skywalker lived Carmel.
Yeah.
And he works at, I think works the Aeropostale Mall, or American, he works at the American Eagle, the Carmel.
Really?
Yeah, he fell off the celebrity train very early. He did an episode of ER, and then he was Anakin, and then the world hated him more than Wes Crusher.
Aww.
It's true.
It is true.
It's, yeah. And it was very funny. All the celebrities had up their banners, their AwesomeCon banner behind them, and he just had snapshots of himself. You could tell he was a very last minute addition when they were like, oh God, Michael Biehn from Aliens canceled. We gotta find somebody who lives around here. Nobody? Crap, what are we gonna do? Get Anakin Skywalker!
And that's so, the only time that phrase has ever been uttered. Somebody needs a last minute addition, somebody needs a pod race run, one, otherwise no, not at all. Doesn't happen.
Hey, Anakin, can you call your boss at American Eagle and see if you can have Saturday off? You have enough PTO time saved up? I don't wanna jeopardize your position with the good folks at American Eagle. I say that like I haven't been working retail forever.
Yeah, it happens. To be fair, he's in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I wasn't in a Star Wars movie, so yeah. You know what? I'm better than Anakin Light. And that's comfort. Because I didn't mess up a franchise, an epicize.
So well, that's another show altogether. I don't know if episode one totally, but it didn't.
Anakin ruined it. Anakin ruined it. Scenes where he says ruined when it is clearly not a uniform.
Wow. Harsh words.
I want to take that back because this guy does live around here. So, that was Cody Grady talking about AwesomeCon. You can find him at, what's your address? No, it was a good time, though. The panel went really well. We got some really good buildings for our character, Bile, from an upcoming book we're working on. You can get more information on that at www.followthe.t/forum. If you go join our forum, that's where we are writing comics with you, the listener, the Follow Networks fans. If there are any that aren't married, they have to.
They really don't.
So beyond that, I mean, that was our weekends right there.
Yeah, you know, cool.
That, recording podcast, panel.
Fun.
We did a photo panel. Like, I had my wife phone, and the guy that in the back, like, telling us tons of stuff, he said, no, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. And he made, like, again, it's more than this. He made the 12 people that were there all crowd together and get in front of the stage and had one kid raise, and my wife shot from behind that kid. So you see a bunch of heads, see somebody like this, and we're all acting like we're talking. It was great. I broke fourth wall. But people work. The best volunteers at a con so far this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Con.
Look what you did there. All right.
Well, so this is exciting. Well, first off, Jeff Thorpe update, specifically for you, Jeff. I don't know if you listen to the show at all anymore, but Jeff, if you're out there, I just bought Skin Game today. Skin Game is not a dirty movie. It's the last book in the Dresden Files. We are going to be all on that podcast. But
so there you go. There will be a Jim Butcher Love Fest episode, Ranked Brothel, coming. You finish that book and with Jeff over.
Yeah.
You know, plan?
Yeah, because cool. He told me, actually, that the last, like, three books or so really, really changed the whole story, and it does. Like, abrupt, like, complete 180 on what it's been doing. You're just like, oh, they're totally changing the rules of everything.
Oh, it's kind of like when you watch Star Wars 4, 5, and 6, you have crappy little Anakin come in 1. Midichlorian,
Midichlorian's a bad idea. Yeah. It's like this, but good. It's good.
It's like that, but good. You heard it here first, folks. Better than George Lucas, it's Cody Grady. And Jim Butcher. Jeff Thorpe, who got my... When we went to PopCon, we did a panel. They gave us one-day passes, you know? Miss out. They gave us three-day passes at AwesomeCon. So I gave mine to Jeff.
Nice.
So he took his girlfriend to her first con on Sunday. Hope you guys had a lovely time. Actually, I know you did, because I already talked to you.
For the sake
of the show, I hope you guys had a good time.
But no, so obviously, since Thor number one came out, and I got a copy for Jason Aaron to sign... I have a signed copy of Thor number one that I'm going to talk about. Well, what's interesting is, a couple major events have happened in the Marvel Universe. So, Original Sin, which was written by Jason Aaron. I didn't talk about Original Sin.
Page one of Thor 1, that's a gooberfish from episode 1 of Star Wars, when they're going through
that's one of those lurker fish things.
But it's huge. It's a gooberfish.
Turn the page, frost giants show up. It's Thor.
Okay.
I don't know why they rise out of the ocean, but they do.
Wouldn't they just freeze the water around them? That'd be really not beneficial.
It happens. There you go, frost giants.
Why do frost giants wear furs? They are naturally cold. Why would you wear a fur? I would wear light nylon.
It's Marvel sense. They don't want to show a whole bunch of
giant dorks. Ironically, I found out that a dork is the technical term for a whale.
Correct.
I learned that.
Very good. But so Thor, he has lost the ability to hold Mjolnir. Something was whispered to him that the Watcher knew. Nick Fury whispered something to him, and he dropped Mjolnir on the surface. And apparently what we've discovered in this comic is that Thor has spent the last month-ish basically blubbering on the moon trying to tell the hammer to be picked up, and it refuses to be picked up. Odin is now awake, and he's like, hey, I made you, hammer. You know, jump up into my hand. Do what you're supposed to do. Even Odin can't make it. No one can make it. And so Freya, the All-Mother, who's been in charge of, you know, the, what do you call them? Yeah, all those people.
Asgardians?
Yeah, Asgardians. I'm tired. The Asgardians, basically Odin's kind of like, forget you, Freya. You need to go back to just... being the second in command and everything. She's like, we'll see about that. Anyway, at the end of the issue, the big surprise is that you see someone pick up Mjolnir, and she says something to the effect, there must always be a Thor. And then you see that it's some woman who can't tell who it is, but the face mask is wearing, holding Mjolnir. So it's not that it's necessarily a female Thor, but that Mjolnir now finds that Thor and everyone else are unworthy to wield its power, and that some blonde woman has now picked up the hammer. Man, Malekith is huge. Like, Jason Aaron's run, I told him this. I told Jason Aaron to his face, because it's true. The first 12 issues he wrote in Thor, God of Thunder, it's called, the first six are called God Butcher. The second set of six, so 7 through 12, is called God Bomb. Those 12 issues were the best story I've probably read in comics. Like, just beautiful art, fantastic writing. Like, he gets Vikings. They want to smash things and hit things, but it's got interesting twists and turns, and, like, Malekith shows up and manipulates Thor, and it's awesome. So, he does Thor well, and I was like, I loved your run on Thor. The first thing he said after told him that was, he's like, you're gonna love it. He's like, it's more of the same. Mm-hmm. It's exactly more of the same. They just rebranded.
Two things. Wouldn't it be trippy if the blonde Thor lady was in?
Yes.
Number two. How are they talking on the moon?
God particles. Asgardian particles.
I've read a lot about Asgardians. Nothing because they have an unlimited supply of air.
Well, you know. They're pulling a Superman here. That's what they're doing.
They're flying around the Earth until time goes backwards. Okay.
Yeah, because that's a weird thing. Is all the Asgardians show up on the moon, and then they say something specifically. Thor, stalks off pouting, and he's like, I'm going to go home. And they're like, oh, everyone's like, how's he going to get there? He can't fly without Mjolnir. And I was like, how the heck did all of you people get there?
Yeah, that's weird.
Like, short of the Bifrost, like, I don't know any other way that they would just get to the moon.
That is a weird. Okay, good. Any other books you're reading?
No, but I did forget to mention that Malekith looks like cuts off Thor's arm and leaves him for dead with all those Bifrost, or with all the frost giants down at the bottom of the ocean. So Thor's in a bad place right now.
It happens. Happens to the best of guys.
It does.
I have been reading Lindusria. In...
Oh.
What that is?
Again, not breaking the fourth wall. No, I don't. Please tell me of this.
This is a novella, a steampunk mafia novella written by our very own illustrator and head artist, head of the art department here at Follow Networks, Luce Patterson. He wrote it before we ever did our first comic and had it available for download or whatever other readers are. You know, a couple of them. He has recently sent it to print, and I actually have the very first copy, so... Thank you. I'm borrowing, of course. I'm going to have to buy my own. So here's what he put. It's available on Amazon right now. The price ranges around $6.50. It depends on whatever sale Amazon's running. Today and tomorrow it's $5.89. Johnny Romano has just become a made man. When Johnny learns an untruth about his first hit, a rift drawn by himself, a hierarchical family, possibly immersed in the past 15. Set in a 1940s pseudo-steampunk New York, Industria Inferni takes you on a journey of Johnny's quest for the truth may be your blood, and that blood will. So again, if you go to Amazon.com, search for Lindustria Inferni, to spell, you'll find this. Or you just type in Luke Patterson, author, and it'll be the second entry, because there's apparently a book with Patterson character right. Lindustria by Lucas Patterson. My.
Nice. So congrats, Lucas.
I just started the other day. I'll be done with it this month. So it's really short. It's only about 110-something pages, I think. It's a nice short novella. Gets right to the point. It's going up and forming. So
cool.
I'm enjoying it.
Good
and I bet
you
will, too. Cody.
Yes.
Geek movie of the week.
Well, because it is, October, and because we flipped over my monthly movie poster to October.
It's a calendar.
Well, it's a monthly movie poster that happens to have the dates on it. Thank you, Craig. I love my calendar. Matt looked over my shoulder and said, oh, look, there's the movie of the week, geek movie of the week, on your calendar.
So, Silence of the Lambs. Get it?
Not a lot of lambs, though.
Lambs
are rarely quiet.
A really weird thing today.
That's true.
Silence of the Lambs, Thomas Harris novel turned film. Probably one of the muddiest best picture winners in all time. Not since, because No Country for Old Men. Nasty.
Yes.
I don't know where to begin with this. Talk to me about your version of Silence of the
Lambs. My version. I'm trying to remember when I think this is one of those films that I watched well before I probably was age appropriate to watch it.
I did.
And I don't know why I picked it up. I really don't. It just. But, I mean, it's such a... It was probably one of those movies, you know, you rent, your parents go out of town, they give you $5 to go rent a couple of movies. I think it was one of those. So I probably watched it in the house all alone by myself when I'm, like, maybe 12, 13 years old. So a lot of the dirtier aspects probably went right over my head. Mm-hmm. But the whole, the violence,
like,
the gore...
Throwing scene.
Yes.
You're like, what, did he spit on her?
Yeah. Yeah, that was... That one I never really got.
Because I can say ejaculate, because that's not a curse word. Yeah, that's biology.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, Matt is trying not to curse. So that we can put this as a clean show as opposed to an explicit show on iTunes.
I just
so we're playing
John,
a fun game.
I want John Graham to be playing it with his child in the background and then I say the word ejaculate. I'm not trying to do that. And don't explain what's John. That's all you gotta do. Just say, I don't know. We'll look it up someday. When you're... okay, keep going. So you're probably too young.
Yeah, but what really stuck with me, I think, and it's the... It is just so cerebral. Getting into the mind, you know... this kidnapper, as well as this cannibal, and how they think, and how they move, and how she has to, you know, deal with. That was just sort of a total, just mind-destroying thing to watch. Because it's, first off, it's acted so well. It's written really well. And it I remember it just blew my mind to think about people like that. Because, I mean, most of the time you don't watch, well, for very good reasons, you don't watch a film like that when you're a kid. So, you know, usually good and evil in movies are like, oh, he's wearing a black hat, he's clearly evil. Oh, he's got a mustache, he's clearly evil. This is like... disc and twisted and like really getting into the sort of mindset of a killer.
Yeah,
it's creepy.
I care.
Buffalo Bill is that his name? Buffalo Bill is
Jane Gunn.
Really messed up. Lotion on his skin.
Those again. I love that Chris Griffith, Family Guy, the voice that Seth does, bass impression.
Really?
That whole, you know, he just has that weird like drawl. And very. Also, the movie has George Romero in it. He plays one of the guards.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Fun fact. You know, we get this, we get to be in television form every week.
Right.
Just act crappy, not well written. Either way, let me tell you my story. Sonic Lambs affected many years. So the film comes out in 91, I believe, maybe 90. So I was like 9 or 10. My parents were in. Instead of doing what I do with bad movies and watching it after it goes to bed, it was like 2 p.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And so I just had to leave the house. It made me go play in the yard. The length of the movie, which is... So I'm outside playing, and I come back in. They're just talking about it. And my dad's not a talker. He doesn't talk about things. He doesn't talk about art. He doesn't talk about books. He'll have a good conversation about sports, political stuff. But, like I've been to the Louvre with my father. You know, we have both stood before the Mona Lisa team.
Yeah.
You know, so to have him talking about the plot line of the film is just completely new. And they're talking about pulling a moth out of this girl's mouth and how bloody it was and all this stuff. It's so exciting. It's a fun movie. And they really enjoyed it. But it was almost over the top. No! No. You cannot watch it. So then immediately I wanted to watch it. So this was 92. It was on, I was 10. It was probably 5 years later. A wonderful friend named let me borrow it from her. In our English.
Nice.
It was on weekend. Once a month from like 6 months old until I was probably 7. I was always going to my grandma.
Yeah.
Just hang out there in the country. It just so happened she borrowed it on a Friday on one of those weekends with grandma. So I knew at night I'd be able to watch it with grandma's and I'll have run upstairs. So I put it in and I watch and I'm like just enamored. This was the first time I see it. It was when he pulls that face off. Hannibal Lecter's hiding. Some of the gruesome points. Honestly, the way they made up the dead bodies, how realistic was jarring to the youngs. I found it into the behavioral analyst part.
Yeah.
So then I go get the book and get it in paperback and read it. And first of all, Thomas Harris, excellent author, is a psychiatrist training. That was how I found out that Miggs was throwing ejaculate. It was from the book, because it clearly says, Miggs is ejaculate. You're like, what's ejaculate? No, I'm just kidding. I knew what ejaculate was. But grab my imagination. And then, of course, the books are always better than the movie, because you see the eyes of the character. See the eyes of Hannibal Lecter. Have you ever read the book?
No.
Hannibal Lecter's internal mind workings are just phenomenal. So, in books, he actually has six fingers. And he has another genetic anomaly pinned red in the middle.
Gotcha.
And he has a perfect deck that he memorizes. And he has organized his head like a vault or like a mansion from room to room. And each room of this is every day.
Right.
You know, and he's going through all that. And I'm like, that got me into psychology. So next year in high school psychology, you know, ace crap out of it. Then I went to college for psychology. Loved every minute. And I went through all the psychology because I wanted to write a story. I wanted to write character Thomas Harris. And so instead of studying English literature, I studied the human mind because I find it so much more.
Right.
And I think it's helping to be. But so now, you know, here it is like... Whatever, I mean, 1992, so 20 later, 30 years later. No, 20, not 40. 20 years later now, and I'm, you know, I'm an analyst. Beyond my psychology bachelor's, you know, I'm a therapist. I, you know, regularly implement, perceive, alter behavior of others based on where my life has led me from the Silence of the Lambs, which got me ultimately in all psychology. Freshman year of college, I'm at a party, and the guy said, new literary character. And everyone comes, and I'm like the new kid. I said Hannibal. Or they said, if you could be any character from a book, who would you? I said Hannibal Lecter. And
that's probably a poor choice.
They looked at me so funny the rest of the night. and I kept trying to explain, like, no, I mean, read the books, you jerks. I have since read all four of the Hannibal Lecter novels, Hannibal Rising, Red Dragon, Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal. Amazing.
Well, I think he does what was so popularized with, like, Helter Skelter, the idea that you are delving minds to see. I mean, there's a disconnect there, you know. You see on the news, it's like, oh, you know, this person murdered his family, or this person, you know, murdered all these women, or this guy has been strangling people for 30 years, and there's disconnect. Like, here I am, here's this guy, we're essentially genetically pretty much the same. You know, we have sort of the same wants and needs, desires. Why is it that I read a comic book and this guy goes around and, like, peels flesh off people and turns it into
his...
So it's like, that's what's really cool about that film, is that film does what, you know, like I said, Helter Skelter and some of those other things did, with delve into minds of seriously depraved, insane people to try and understand why they do.
Pretty fun. You know, Hannibal, a lot of it takes place in 1995 or 96, summer abroad, and spent a lot of time in Italy. It was really cool, too, reading in Hannibal. It was pre-Da Vinci Code, mind you, Hannibal, but it was written with that same kind of love architecture. You can really tell, I think, a Hannibal Thomas Harris.
Gotcha.
Silence of the Lambs is a great book. He wrote Hannibal, he's an author, described, not just, now he's able to describe everything.
It's gone from a doctoral thesis, you know, that's been novelized, being an actual.
That is a great way, I like that. I remember when Hannibal came out, it was 2002, 2001, 2002, and I always hung out with the crowd. fraternity college marching band and opening night Cannibal and packed theater. There's a scene in the very beginning when Reese Starling's talking to her superior and saying, sometimes he kills people out of disservice for good. He killed an 8th flautist from Boston Philharmonic to the sound. And my whole group, like, so there's like, you know, maybe 10 of us. We lost. We thought that was hilarious. Everybody turned to stare at the raucous laughter from us. They thought it was a fart in her. But no, it was the joke and the thing. We liked it. Come on. So, good stuff. Good stuff. And may I recommend, don't watch Red Dragon. Watch The Manhunter. Either way, very good. It had Brian Cox, Molector. Very early. Good story.
Like you said, nowadays you see those types of stories all the time. You've got your Law and Order, you got your Criminal Minds, you've got your, I mean, I guess you could almost say the Blacklist, a little like that. You've got your, and there's some good ones too. You got your Bates Motel, you got your, you know, stuff like that.
And Hannibal.
And Hannibal.
when CSI first came on the scene and everybody watched it first, just thought it was amazing. The next season, 20 music shows.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the way the trend went, that was a post reality boom.
Yeah.
The Void, who watched Brother More.
We lost our one brother.
I'm sorry. Don't get me started on Survivor. Anyway, so Silence of the Lambs. Check it out. If you've never seen Silence of the Lambs, pull your head out of your butt and check it out. I'm sure it's on Netflix or Hulu or something. American classic.
It really is.
Yeah. I won a picture.
I mean, that's one thing I do love about that poster. Every one of those fantastic.
I love
great
that you
films.
Keep calling it a poster.
It's because I don't even look at the, like, half the time I'm like, where's a calendar around here? Oh, that's right. There's a calendar attached to that sweet movie poster I change every month.
Oh, Cody Green.
I haven't looked at the back because I don't want to know what's coming next.
I don't look ahead because that's bad. That's bad. You don't look ahead and get bad luck. You don't get it because you were surprised.
I do. I want to be like, oh, what did they choose for November?
Like, my wife, every time I get her calendar at Christmas, immediately flips through the whole thing. It's like, you wonder why our lives brought the bad juju on us. She's like, probably the most common phrase, why did you ever get ahead? Because you flipped through the calendar. Stop it.
You've already taken all the good luck we're going to have for the year and used it in one day.
Crapped it out, man. Okay, that's the Geek Movie of the Week. Now we're on to the big talk. I want to hear about fall. Are you couch?
I am at this time of the year. Yeah. That's for sure.
It's definitely a good time.
Yes.
Let's do the rundown. What shows are you watching currently?
All right. We are on, my wife and I, we are watching Gotham, which is just finished, speak.
Go home and watch at night.
We are watching Blacklist. We are watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm eagerly anticipating Constantine.
No, that is 24th.
Is it that late? I thought
it
was late.
It's late enough. For those of you that don't know, breaking the fourth wall again, Cody does Netflix Plus and all that. He doesn't have, they don't have cable hookup.
Right.
But do you have a digital antenna?
Yes.
So you can watch it.
Yeah.
On my DVR, I went to search for the show, and it's, I just did it last night.
Gotcha.
And they're playing for it on
night. Gotcha.
And
so
Natalie told me the date. I'm sure I messed the end.
It's later. Okay.
We got Walking Dead coming this Sunday, October 12th, as well as The Talking Dead, which I think is, and comic book, which is really awesome. And great. I have corresponded and met all of them I've corresponded with. Good folks.
Let's see what else we have coming out. Arrow is coming out.
You know, and now I'm so behind on that because I watched the pilot and they messed up so many things for me. And I know I've said it so many times on so many podcasts. Justin Hartley, my Green Arrow. Okay. Tim Burton is an older person. Michael Keaton is a person my age. Batman. Justin Hartley is my Green Arrow. So I just can't get in yet. I know there's going to be a point with Dan Blitz Rabbit watching. I do have the Flash set.
I'd say Flash is another one. American Horror Story, which is a really good show.
That comes back tomorrow. That comes back today if you're listening to the day it comes out.
Yeah.
Right? The 8th. Wait.
Yeah. Today's the 6th.
Okay. So, okay. It comes out tomorrow. Okay.
Assuming I put this podcast. Okay.
Make sure this goes up Tuesday, Cody.
Carry the one.
If you don't, you're not the technical director anymore.
Oh, demoted. Technical lackey.
That looks very promising. I am a fan of the past three seasons. That'll be Sons of Anarchy. Love Sons of Anarchy. The finals. Trey, exciting. Look forward to watching that. Tuesdays are just awful. Well, Wednesday morning are awful. Tuesdays, it's like, come home, watch Age of S.H.I.E.L.D. Then watch 3 hours of Sons of Anarchy. So long this season. Trying to wrap every. Cool. My man.
Speaking of Sons of Anarchy, I thought I would tell you, I got a 30-day free trial of Audible.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to Guillermo del Toro's Drain, which is the first book in a trilogy of, like, this vampire zombie
thing. Yeah, there's a show about it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. narrated by Ron Perlman. I get to listen to 11 hours and 42 minutes of Ron Perlman's voice read me a Guillermo del Toro horror.
I would hope Hellboy 3 is a...
I hope it's... Man, I love me some Hellboy.
Finally, that Ron Perlman can get something figured out. So.
Man, that would be yeah. I love me some Hellboy.
I would know all about it. You said Gotham. You said Sons of Anarchy, Walking Dead. Okay, whatever. Forget all this.
Let's go back. A lot of stuff.
A lot of really good TV. Oh, Hell on Wheels is on right now. That's another great show. That's wrapping soon. So... But let's talk about the geek shows.
Yeah, lots of geek shows.
Lots of geek. Two that I know about right now.
Thus far.
Gotham and Asian. Yes. Gotham. Initial thoughts, code, go.
I love it. I mean, I'm a huge Batman fan, almost to the point of...
They're called Bat fan.
Yeah. I am the Bat fan.
Bat fan!
We apologize for that. Oh, we made him a dog man, too. No, I love it. It's a great, great concept. Because, I mean, like, if you talk about the comic line, GCPD was so popular. And all it did was follow the inner workings of, you know, the Gotham police. This is sort of the same thing. I think a lot of people tuning in are going to confuse that they're not seeing Batman. But to me, it's more interesting to see, you know, Cobblepot, a low-level thug.
Mm-hmm.
To see, you know, Nygma being a little off-kilter. To see, I'm sorry, Fox, his name is Falcone. It's not Falcone. Unless his first name is Carmen. You can't call him Carmine Falcone. It's driving me nuts. Other than that, I think it's really, really... I'm really enjoying it.
No, very good. I am loving all the bats in the background. The first one
you were telling me about that.
The first one you see notably is Mr. and Ms. Wayne fall in the alley, picking up his arms.
Oh!
The arms of the bat ears. The way his parents' bodies are draped make the bat sigil.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful symbolism. The use of... if we talk about just the pilot episode, you know, you got young Silly Kyle looking down on a Rick Gargoyle in Batman's.
Yeah.
You know, you have Commissioner Gordon wrapping a blanket around young Bruce, putting on a cape as he helps guide them.
Yeah.
Which is going to be just so things. And we're getting really the kind of Alfred I've always wanted. We're getting the Alfred it seems from, what was that great Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Batman yeah. Earth 1 where Alfred's like an ex-merc.
Well, what's interesting is that it's clear because, I mean, okay, timeline between the first two episodes. We're talking, like, what, 4 days post, you know, Wayne murder? 5 days? Because they've just put him in the ground at the end of the first episode. And if you take into account Cobblepot, it's probably, what, 2 days out of Gotham? So it's got to be, like, one awful week for Gordon. But what's interesting is I love that Pennyworth has no clue what he's to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's, like, yelling at him and then hugging him, and then he's just like, I have no idea how to do this kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always liked the you know, the very stern military man Alfred, but at the same time, he just has no clue what to do with it, which
he's
is really interesting.
He's trying to fall into the role of a parent.
Yeah, but he can't do it. He's either incredibly disciplinarian and militaristic, or he's like, you know, just hugging the kid and, you know, crying, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, because he goes to Gordon for help.
Yeah, very, very good.
How do you feel about the fact that Gordon comes to Gotham unmarried, no children? Because originally, I believe it's year one that they changed that he comes to town with James Jr. And mm-hmm. that it's, you know, that's...
Yeah, I mean, clearly there's a deviation because, he comes to town in year one and his partner, Flass, who's a really cop as well as a cop, the crap out of he's not being...
Mm.
And he gets partnered after Flass backs down, he partners Sarah,
mm-hmm.
And then they fare with half the wife, and then Sarah get married, and Joker eventually.
Right.
Sarah Essen's the police.
Oh, I catch
the African American woman.
I didn't hear her name.
Essen, or Captain.
Yeah, I assume it's Captain. Yeah.
So there's a difference right there. You know, you have Renee Montoya essentially being A, older than James, B, has had an affair with his girlfriend.
So that's the way you took that?
Oh, yes. That was, come on.
There's definitely some dirty stuff going on there, but I don't know if I jump straight to being affair.
Well, and have they said Barbara's last name? Because
Keen. Yeah, they use Keen.
Keen. Barbara Kane becomes Batwoman in the comics and has an affair with Renee Montoya when she is questioned.
I see.
The whole end of all that crap.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of true. Barbara Keene versus Barbara Keene, you know, from comics, they're Barbara. Are they combining Barbara's into a show?
Favorite character?
Oh.
Well, yeah.
Just to watch his character, like, you can see the reluctance. You see him remember, like, the cop. Good person, you know?
To have morals.
Yeah, yeah, and like, to have that dream. You know, when a cop first cop, they don't be like, I'm going to get paid off by local business people to protect their business. Yay!
Yeah.
No, they, you know, they want to make clean up the streets and stuff. And you see Donald Logue emote that with looking at,
yeah,
you know, when he's trying to, like, save his butt, or when they're getting in a fight, or, you know, very interesting. I don't just love Harley Bullock, the character. I'm loving Donald Trail.
Right. Which I think, if you had to talk about GC, my favorite character is always going to be Harvey. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you watch that old animated series, Batman. Like, love Harvey Bullock because he's just kind of that, you know, lazy, donut-eating cop who, you know, if he has to be there, yeah, he's going to be there because mm-hmm. he's got your back. But otherwise, he's going to be hanging out eating donuts. Although I have to say, my favorite character would be Cobblepot mm-hmm. because the way he's being played, like the sort of servile butler who's very proper but at the same time just has the fits of insane, unrelenting anger mm-hmm. is just fantastic.
I love episode 2 when they brought his... Yeah. And it played by the gals. Oh god, she was in Taxi, Locked Wife, and then she played the grandma in the Addams Family. Ugh, that's good. That is gonna
fair enough. Some talk. I think that to me, for example, that scene when he's taken in episode 2, where he's sort of taken a hostage and is, you know, like very politely, oh yes, well I'm sure we can make a deal here, you know. He's like willing to go half his price or three quarters of his price in order to get this deal done, and then it doesn't happen. He just kind of turns on the guy and is like, meh, whatever.
Carol Kane. God. Carol Kane.
It's just neat to see that sort of proper attitude that also is sane. It's a neat way of portraying Penguin, opposed to being either incredibly grotesque or incredibly mob boss. You see a little bit of insanity. It's kind of nice. You don't really see that, I feel like, in a Penguin.
I'm liking the Nick character.
Yeah.
Just fun.
He is. He's a little over the top for me. He's a little extra.
Extra, like, what is the...
it's like saying, it's like they're beating it over the head. It's like, if you haven't noticed, the guy asking riddlers is going to be the Riddler. He's going to keep asking you riddles.
But don't, isn't that a neat, like, just setup where that makes perfect sense for the Riddler origin of criminalist? That's, like, why has anybody done that? That's insanely good.
Yeah.
What else would he do? I mean, okay, in the comics, Riddler is kind of a joke.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Suicide Squad aside, he's easy to catch. Why are you always clues behind your crimes, you dummy? The idea of having a Riddler that was criminal in the consciousness because of hyper-intelligence, realizing with this knowledge, with forensic knowledge like that, I can... That's a Riddler I would comment. That's an exciting MFing.
I could agree with that. That is a good one. I mean, I did like where Scott Snyder took it, the latest of Batman, where he's sort of like an inside businessman, like one of those guys who are corporate espionage. He's the guy outthinking the other people, which I think is a really neat way of taking it too. But I can get behind the criminals. I'm just not as... They're a little over the top with, hey, I'm the Riddler. Hey, I'm the Riddler. Hey, by the way, I'm asking a riddle. By the way, I'm the Riddler. It's like, okay, guys, we got it. We got it. It's okay.
Good. That is definitely, And then cameo in the background, sewing. I'm like, they go to the pilot. The butcher has on a mask.
Yeah.
You know, Professor Pig. Duh.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't Professor Pig by any means, but it's, you know, people were saying that the girl in the pilot was Pam Isley. Her name was Ivy. Her Christian was Ivy. It was just coincidental, and it was fun. It was fun.
Oh, like, where's Waldo? What's her... But see, that's the thing. I do remember Isley's father did eat her. She's got a strange daddy issue.
So you're going to tell me that any supervillain woman doesn't have weird daddy issue? Besides Harley?
She's weird in
general.
Yeah,
she grew up in Isley.
I don't know. I'll think about that. I'll come back with one.
So...
Rachel Gould's daughter.
Doesn't have daddy issues?
No. Screws with her dad, too. Yeah. By sleeping with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. Those are really daddy issues.
I don't know. That
she's striking back at her father for giving her a life.
I don't know about that.
Come on.
What do you guys think? Post on Facebook.
You think Rachel Gould's daughter, what name?
Miranda Talia.
Tate. Talia has is with daddy. Let us know. Anywho, Age of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep. I'm waffling a little bit. I still like it. Still like it.
Waffle,
but it's definitely a different dynamic. It's not S.H.I.E.L.D. the high and mighty, S.H.I.E.L.D. the powerful, which I'm okay with, but it's definitely S.H.I.E.L.D. the mopey and depressed and really sad. That's what it is now.
Well, did you
Everybody's got a mental disorder or is infected with something or is just incredibly unhappy at their situation.
You have to randomly every 18 days carve into walls through that 2 hours?
Yeah. Why did he carve into a wall? Like, why don't they get the man a blackboard?
Maybe he's gonna be a knife. Who knows? I got all excited. The pilot. And we're like, oh, hey, Xena's on this.
So, yeah, that. I don't think that's
gonna. But that's not permanent in the Marvel universe.
Saying, that's not gonna stick.
Yeah, she's gonna shake that.
Maybe.
I love having Crusher Creel, Carl Crusher Creel. Like, when we were watching the show, Natalie loves the Marvel Cinematic. and we were watching. She's always kind of asking questions. I actually dusted off Marvel Cycle now. It sits in our living ready for.
So you hear a name, you can pause it and look it up?
Yeah. I mean, essentially, like Glenn Talbot, you know? Yeah. You know, he's from the Hulk side.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to have him. So then I can cite an example of Natalie about it right then going on. So Crusher Creel comes on, and initially it's shot pilot, and I wonder who that is. Later on, he goes to the card catalog, and Elmy grabs something, and I go, "That's Carl Creel!" Mm. She's like, "Who's that?" It's the Absorbing Man! He's actually a villain from Thor, but they've recently retconned it into a Hulk villain. just look it up. So there's a great meme out there right now that has all the side-by-sides.
Yeah.
Every actor from S.H.I.E.L.D. and their counterpart comics.
Yeah. Somebody just posted on the Rancor Brothel.
I think it was Aaron Flowers. Thank you.
Yeah, because that was awesome to see. Because it's weird. I hear the name and I see it on the show, and I don't have it, you know, I don't have it exactly memorized in my infinite mind mansion there. And I'm like...
That's a callback to Silence of the Lambs. Good job, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'm like, oh, this, like, I've seen this, and I know this person, but, like, certain agents will pop up, and I'll be like, is that the one who's, like, sort of in charge of S.W.O.R.D., or is she the other one? Or, you know, I have those moments with every single episode, so it was nice to side by side.
You're talking about Victoria Hand?
I am, yes.
She's S.W.O.R.D.?
Yes.
However, the comics, she's happy.
Right. And has green hair.
Yeah. So, really fun to see where they're going with, end of the year when he pulls, you know, he gets off in the bus and they have a Quinjet through the cloak. That's what do you think of the mental health Fitz?
I am really worried about Fitz. I figured that out about 10 seconds before the reveal. Oh. My wife hates watching TV shows with me because I will scream the big thing, and all of a sudden they were talking about it, and like slowly the gears are wearing, and I suddenly click. No one said anything about Simmons. No one's talked to Fitz. She May totally ignored. I was like, oh my god, Simmons isn't real! And Berger was like, what? And just as they say that, they panned over to where it was Fitz all by himself, like talking to himself.
Ugh.
And I was like, man, like I am just gonna be depressed watching Fitz from now till whenever it gets all sorted out.
You say that, but the preview for tonight's episode, if you're downloading this the day it comes out, shows Simmons behind the line Hydra. So she's either a double agent for Hydra or a double agent against Hydra.
Right.
You know, I mean, the one thing that I could think of.
See, Coulson could do that. I mean, that's a Nick Fury
thing. Yeah, it's a Nick Fury thing, but you're not going to take biologist, no field training. You'll have to trade. Huge terrorist organization cells can, you know, operate.
Well, they're definitely getting into the more, you know, post-Nazi Hydra with all the weird technology and the biology. And so maybe she's infiltrated, you know, the AIM sector of Hydra as opposed to the...
No, Advanced ID Mechanics and the Ten Ring. Remember?
AIM version. Whatever. I don't know the distinct. You cut the head off two more up here. I don't know what their divisions are called.
Didn't you watch Iron Man 3? They explained it all in there. God. You're infuriating me, Cody. I'm trying not to cuss it. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Simmons really. I'm very excited for the rest of the two episodes.
We got a couple.
I'll be very excited for a while.
No, it's... I wonder how Skye is exactly going to work out, because she's, like, super jaded now. She used to be like, I'm the new agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., da-da-da, and, like, you
now
kind of...
Now she's like, I'm the senior agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., what's going on here?
Yeah, you don't quite get the whole, like, before it was always, like, you were seeing everything through her eyes, and now she's, like, inside, and the show feels very insular, whereas before it was very sort of open, and you felt like you were part of the team, and now it's, like, small almost terrorist cell, and it's thematically very, very good, but I don't have that sort of feel good Marvel experience done with it, you know what I mean? So it's shifted tonally. It's very different. I don't dislike it, but it, like I said, it makes me waffle a tad.
Patton Oswalt is my last point. Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
You know, they introduced him last season, but he at one point mentioned
Xbox.
Call of Duty's brother.
Yeah.
Then at the end of that season, they go to another facility, and it's care of by Patton Oswalt, apparently brother. In the pilot, they discuss that Patton Oswalt has many brothers, reference for brothers, all use. Are we seeing the advent of life model?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like they're waiting to reveal that at a very, very monumental time. Like, because there are so many times in watching a Marvel movie or in watching Agent Seal, I'm like, oh, live model decoy.
Yeah.
And it's never been a live model decoy. Like that classic
Clark Gregg, like we all thought. Yeah.
Live model decoy. Yeah, no. So I don't know. It could be live model decoy. It could be, I've often wondered if it's not like some other, I think it's potentially robot intelligence of some kind, whether or not it's a live model decoy or not, I don't know.
It would be interesting if, you know, when they brought Phil Coulson back, the whole Tahiti explanation, they knew all the nerds would say life model.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was by far the most widely read idea. So it would be interesting then if, you know, that was a red herring for the project, and that this is actually the end of Black Quality, but we're also jaded from thinking it was Phil Coulson, and now we're like, no, it's not, like, no, they're just a bunch of twins.
bunch of quadruplets, quintuplets.
Whatever.
That yeah. lady that had like 9 children, that's who he's
yeah,
supposed to be.
Yeah, that's what they grow up to be. Shield agent, short stature. So yeah, who knows? It could be.
I mean, it that's the neat that they keep throwing in stuff that Marvel related, but they're from different things. Not just, you know, they're not just pulling storyline or from one aspect of the universe. So it's neat to see them pulling up old Hydra stuff, but they're mm-hmm. pulling in Asgardian technology, and they're pulling in just whatever they can in their universe to make that sort of, you know, fun adventure week.
Yeah.
So it could be anything. Live model decoy, sure, but what's to say that it's not some sort of you know, futuristic technology that they got from X, Y, or Z? Time travel.
Maybe Patton Oswalt is the multiple.
Maybe.
Because they could, you know, if they wanted to, they could have in the show, Marvel only gave the movie rights, Spider-Man. They could, if they wanted to, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., create their own continuity Spider-Man, or their own continuity X.
Well, we definitely see that they're hedging in on some of the areas that are theoretically shared. Controlled. Yeah, like seeing Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, but not having them be called mutants. It's like, yeah, they're hedging back in on that property. They want it back.
So that's, yeah, that's pretty it. I liked, I know I said it last week, the idea of Stan Lee and character and all.
Yeah.
Uatu, you know, which is sad, that's not it. Heart that, you know? Like, Uatu, like, just walk here. Sometimes he's in Fantastic Four, sometimes he's a hot dog vendor in Spider-Man. You know, whatever. He's just keeping an eye on things. He's always the action, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think Uatu would be at the wedding of Storm? And,
right.
You know, wouldn't he Spider-Man save? Wouldn't he, when Sentis walked out of the water and X?
Yeah.
Heck yes, he would. He's Uatu Watcher. That's what he does. In the show.
But no, it's a fantastic show. I'm enjoying it. I wonder how long we're going to be deep funk. Because, I mean, I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. suffered a little bit in the first few weeks, or the first, you know, dozen episodes last year.
Well, because the first they were tying two or three in. Did really well.
But then it had this gray point of suffering until you got into the Cap tie-in.
And we don't have a movie tie-in.
Right.
I mean, we clearly have it with the entire cinematic. We don't have a movie out during run of the next Marvel movie, I'm pretty sure. Correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, I'm pretty
fact
sure.
Checker Troy.
Fact Checker Troy. Type that. Oh, I cussed. Beep it. Beep it. Mark the time. What time are we at?
I don't know.
Beep that. Poop. Poop, poopity, poop, poop, poop.
Ah! You got down to like the last 2 minutes and failed.
It's late. God. Now I'm
to be
so
fair,
disappointed.
You made it over an hour of live recording, depending on how this gets shortened down. But in an actual hour, Matt did not swear.
I work with children. I don't swear all the time.
I know, but our listeners don't know that.
I don't swear.
Our listeners don't know that. For all our listeners know, you swear all the time.
Listen, listeners, today in the state of Indiana, it's legal for same-sex couples to get married, which is the reason I got ordained. I can marry you, and I will not curse in the ceremony.
Unless you ask him to.
Or straight, or whatever, I can marry you. So give me a call, because I'm very cheap. I'm affordable. Come on. Let's go. I'm already marrying one listener of the show, Cody Schroeder, so let's get some more. Spread the word. Pay me.
So, do you have anything else to add in with nerdy TV?
No.
He's just depressed.
Yeah, I'm going to watch Flash and watch Arrow. Constant we're excited about.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Maybe once the shows start coming out, maybe about 3 more weeks, a little faulty roundup, and we'll have Walking Dead on, we'll have Flash, we'll have other shows we can talk about that are all geeky.
Yeah, I want to talk the Hellblazer out of Constant.
Look what you did there. It was cute.
Yeah, what can I say?
Adorable. All right. From here at Brothel Studios North, at the home of the technical director of S.H.I.E.L.D., we bid you fond farewell and an adieu.
Excelsior.
Hail Hydra.